Hello, everyone, and welcome to Limited Time Only. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by my co-host, Danny.
Hey, what's up?
What is up, man?
Nothing much. I'm about to head out to Orlando, so that's tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. It starts on Saturday. Excited to play some Limited, so should be cool.
Yeah, should be good. Should be good. You need 3 pro points for silver?
Yeah, so technically 2, but yeah, I need 3 because I have all my GP slots taken up, so.
Wait, what?
So I have to go 12-3 at a GP, which is 3 pro points.
Yeah. But you only need 2 pro points to get silver?
So I have 18 points.
Oh. You have to replace the 1. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so I have to go up by 2.
All right. Well, there's a math lesson for everybody for GP math. Let's get right into the podcast. This podcast is brought to you by you, the viewer and the listener. You go to patreon.com/ccmtg to become a patron of the show. You're starting at $1 or more per month. Anything that you see fit to donate, we appreciate. It means the world to us. You can check that out at patreon.com/ccmtg. You can also support the show by going to Game Grid in Salt Lake or, you know, many of their locations. You go to play@gamegrid.com to see their locations and check out Game Grid. It's a great place to play Magic, great place to buy Magic cards. Check them out at play@gamegrid.com. Let's go into our first segment. So every week on the show, we talk about the things that move the most up or down for us. This week on Limited Time Only, we're going to do a Modern Master special. So we're just going to talk about Modern Masters this week and what's going on in that format and what we think of it and so on and so forth. So what is your biggest mover in Modern Masters? Even though we don't have a baseline, you've done a bunch of drafts. What's going on in that format for you, Danny?
I guess kind of big ideas because it's a new format, so it's trying. So one of my big movers is green white tokens. It's the deck that I've had the most success with. I think a lot of it is because people aren't taking some of the really important cards for it very highly. Like I got Call of the Conclave, like tabling, which seemed pretty abnormal. And so if you can get the pieces, there's a lot of cards that no one will ever want, like the fog that populates. And so if your whole deck is filled with ways to make 3/3s and 4/4s, that card's pretty good just because it is an instant speed 3/3 or a 4/4. So there's lots of like very low picks that you can get really, really late in that deck.
Does it completely fog?
So it just prevents combat damage to you.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so you can like...
So
yeah,
it's like a blowout fog.
Yeah, it's been, like, that card looks horrible. So I think the better version of it is the Rootborn Defenses, so the 3-mana one where you populate and then your creatures get indestructible.
That card is a blowout.
Like, you have to play around that card.
Yeah, they were both playable in Return to Ravnica, though. And that's where the populate deck came from, so you could probably assume that the cards are playable in this format as well.
Yeah, so I didn't play back then. So that any Modern Masters format, I always it takes me a little while to get my bearings because I don't have like the reference point from when these cards were in the previous Limited formats. And so the populate kind of looked bad to me, but it plays really well. And there's lots of good cards from that.
What is your biggest mover down?
Biggest mover down were Miracle cards. I was very optimistic about them initially. And then I just drew a lot of them in my opening hands. I'm like, man, this card isn't nearly as good as it looked. I always thought it cost 1 mana, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, they're not quite as good when they're in your opening hand, surprisingly.
Yeah, they're still fine.
They only put the good miracle cards in the set, though, so they shouldn't move out down too much for you.
Yeah, they're pretty, they're fine. I was very high on them.
Yeah, if your 5-mana removal spell is always 1 mana,
yeah,
it's always pretty good.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So my biggest mover up is 2 things. Early on in formats, I often like to test how greedy I can be, and in this format, you can be pretty greedy. So my biggest mover,
very greedy.
Yeah, my biggest mover up is going to be Signets. But lands can be included in this, including tri-lands. And here's the reason why. So people will eventually figure out how good Signets are in this format, if they haven't already. But they're very, very good. And people will then in turn realize that they need to take lands higher. So I would like to keep prioritizing them really high so that I can keep drafting five color, which is a deck that I really enjoy in limited. And this format really, really allows you to play five color. So mana fixing, and then because signets are part of mana fixing this format, I also think that you should take big mana stuff higher than you normally would. So that seven drop that looks like, ah, this will wheel, it's not gonna wheel because every deck can get pretty mid-rangey, so they can afford to play seven drops in this format. And because of that, because the power level is so high and separate drops are playable, they're not going to wheel like they normally would when you would think of, like, I'll get finishers later because, you know, every deck has finishers. That's not, it's not like Cube in that sense where you can just get a different finisher. If you don't have them, you probably won't get them because other green decks, other big mana decks are going to take them. You're not going to be the only big mana deck, even though you're the only five color deck. So specifically in those ways, that's my biggest mover up. My biggest mover down this week is aggro decks at large. So the aggressive decks are going to be different, kind of like the green white tokens deck. That deck is one of the aggressive decks in the format, but it's not like hyper aggro, which I don't think that there's a lot of hyper aggro in the format.
Yeah, I would agree. So about your the signets and the mana, so I think starting with a big finisher is really, really critical and going into that deck, just because, like you said, people will take them really highly. Like comparing Cube to this draft format is really interesting because in Cube, signets are insane. Like in Vintage Cube, they are very, very good, and I think they're also good in this format. But you have to have big finishers, and there's not nearly as many as there are in Cubes.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to our next segment. So what do we have? Oh, color of the week. So every week on the show, we're going to talk about a color, and this week we're not going to talk about color. We're going to talk about five colors. We're going to talk about five color inside of this format and go a little bit deeper on it. So let's start with, what does it pair with? So this is actually important because I think that you would think that, like, five color pairs with everything really well. And I actually don't think that's true. I think that there are key cards inside of five color that are really important, and there are key colors within that. I think the key colors are green is probably one of them. Blue is probably one of them. It kind of goes from there. Is that something you think?
Green, I think, is probably the most important because if you're going to go for the true five-color deck, a really, really important card in your deck is the Sylvan Ranger. It gives you a five-color source that you can cast. So a 2-mana 1/1 is not great on the board, but it's something. And then it fixes for every color, which if you're going to be playing cards in all five colors, it's really important. Like no land except for Shimmering Grotto, which isn't great. But no land really gives you that effect. And so being base green helps you to fix for the other colors better than trying to splash green.
Also, one of the key things is that when in your big five color deck, you want some kind of advantage somewhere. And that needs to come in the form of card advantage, probably from blue in some way. Or you can get an advantage from being bigger in green. And that's simulated card advantage, right? Your 5/5 makes their 2/2 not matter as much. And one of the other things in my first draft, I drafted five color and Michael drafted five color across the table from me. We both had five signets. We both had seven lands. Like we were both able to do it. And one of the things that I was noticing is, like, you can pretty easily adjust your mana and get the colors that you need if you have some kind of baseline. So my baseline, I had a lot of two drops. I had Sylvan Ranger, which produces simulated card advantage by getting you the land out of your deck. And I had what's the card called? It's like a super popular EDH card. It's the blue and a green for the guy. Coring Oracle, thank you. And I had Coring Oracle, so I would hold the ground early, generate some kind of card advantage, and then pull away. And his deck was the same way. He would play Augur of Bolas, get some card advantage, cast some removal spells, so he got to his big stuff. And I think that this is the common theme of this deck, is that it needs something to do on turn two and a lot of things to do on turn two. Signets play a huge role in that, but other two drops play another role because your lands come into play tapped so often that you need two drops. You just have to have them.
Yep. I think cheap interaction is the other pretty integral part. So I think Grixis, so white I view as the least important color in that deck. You pretty much are only going to play it for like your, if you get a white bomb of some sort, or a white finisher. But having cheap removal to get you to your big cards that you're able to cast is what's really going to get you lots of wins in that deck.
Yeah, the other thing that I noticed that we both had a lot of success with is like Pilfered Plans in my decks was one of the best cards, surprisingly. And then he had the Urban Evolution.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, just getting this raw card advantage is really important in the deck because eventually you're going to overwhelm your opponent because your average card quality is so much higher.
Yeah. So you have very good cards because you're being able to play five colors. So you're sacrificing some efficiency because you're playing a lot of tap lands. You're playing some signets, which don't affect the board right away, but you're getting back overall power level by playing only the best cards in all the colors. And then as long as you can get to the board early and interact a little bit, you're going to be favored going late because you just have better spells than what your opponent does on average.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the deck and watching Michael play his deck. I saw other decks, you know, I saw like three-color aggro decks. I saw some mid-range decks. The format is very wide, but one of the things that I really like about five-color early in the format is that it lets you like play lots of different stuff. You know, one of the cooler decks that I saw was like Bant Instant Speed, and it was really cool and really powerful, but I think that like the power behind being able to just like be like in pack three, just say, I can play this removal spell. Mm-hmm. I can play this removal spell. And having a really powerful pack three is really good.
Sure. A lot of the skill in drafting is being able to find your lane and figure out what colors are open so that you can get the cards that are the best, right? And if you're playing all five colors, that's, you no longer have to do that. You just get to take all of the best cards, no matter what color they are.
Yeah. Where do you think that you should prioritize the common lands and the signets in this situation?
I prioritize the lands over the signets because even not big mana decks will play the land. So like if I'm playing Naya aggro, so like base two colors, splash some kind of bomb in the third color, I'll play the lands, but I won't want to play the signets because I don't want to spend my early turns playing that. I think there's so many decks that don't utilize the signets because there's not a lot of bombs. And like at the table, there's only going to be so many haymaker finishers, and not every deck is going to be able to have enough to play the big five-color ramp deck. And so that's why, in general, I like taking lands that are on color to what I'm playing over signets.
I'm the complete opposite. I think you're definitely supposed to take signets first.
Yeah. So in an ideal world, signets are better cards, but I find myself playing the lands in more decks. But
here's the thing is like you can also just get away with not having the lands, which I don't know is true of the five color deck, because so many of your lands are coming into play tap, the signets catch you back up to the point in the game that gets really important, where the lands don't do that.
Yeah. I think the difference is I don't think the five color deck is as like easy to get into. Like it seems like it would be simple, but I've had problems where I didn't first pick or second pick a big finisher, and then I tried to go into that archetype, and you really, really need haymaker bombs in order for that deck to be really effective, because otherwise you're going to lose out to like the synergistic decks that other people can build. And okay. So if I start off with a big bomb, like if I first pick a Broodmate Dragon, I am in. Like I'm totally taking signets and trying to like ramp out like haymaker threats. But if my first pick is, I don't know, like some random card that doesn't like in the game by itself, then it's a lot harder for me to play Signets like that. But
you ready to hear my first pick was in my first five color draft?
Bird Maid Dragon?
Basilisk Caller.
Basilisk Caller?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that card's really good, I assume.
It is really good. And it turned all of my dirtily one ones, like my Coiling Oracles and my Sylvan Rangers into Death Touch Life for you guys. And it's just like, it was great. It was great.
You can also take the red Pinger. I saw someone do that at one point. That
is powerful.
Yeah, it's
really good. That is not fair.
No, nope, not at all. It's really, really, really good.
Well, let's go into Modern Masters itself and kind of talk about the format as a whole rather than just the five color deck. So let's start with what are you drafting right now? What are you drafting in the format? What are you having success with? What have you not had success with? What's going on in the draft for you?
So I've personally had more success playing two colors splashing a third in general. So and the colors that I've liked the most are like green, white, so like the Naya Shard. So it's mostly aggro, or sometimes I'll just go green white and it'll just be the populate deck. But Naya have done really well with. And then Grixis. A lot of times I'll draft like some kind of bluish control deck and get removal from black and red and somewhere in there. So I haven't drafted the like go all the way for five colors as much, but I've mostly been drafting like either like Niagara or Grixis control with a lot of counterspells and stuff.
Yeah, do you find that there's not a way to really just draft straight green and white? You kind of have to go some direction with that, whether it's Bant or Naya?
So if you get the populate deck, so if I have Call of the Conclave is like the big card, because if you can get Call of the Conclave down, then you can play other populate cards more reliably, and they'll be a real threat. But if you don't have very many Call of the Conclaves, you should normally Bant, because then you'll have like things that make the golems splicers, and you can flicker the splicers, and then that goes with that theme. But the green-white deck, if you can get it, like Intangible Virtue and Call of the Conclave are like the most important cards. If you can get those, then I think it's better if you can stay green-white, because you can play random populate cards and they're actual threats if you can get a density of it.
Yeah, what is the thought on cards like Wayfaring Temple, you know, which was moved down from rare to uncommon specifically for this deck?
That card's a beating, so you just combine that with any type of removal spell or strengthen numbers or the 4-mana make a bird and populate. That is really hard for people to play around, because you can adjust the power and toughness of your Wayfaring Temple at instant speed, so they have to be chump blocking, or they have to take a risky block where they can lose their guy for free. So it doesn't even need to connect necessarily for it to be really powerful, but it's just kind of a threat.
Okay.
That's really powerful.
Do you find that like splashing for something like Senhome Guildmage is okay in this deck?
It's the red-white guy that makes tokens and pumps, right? So
yes.
I will splash. I generally don't splash for a card of that power level. Like that card's really good, but it gets really good if you can activate it multiple times. And if it's on the splash, it's not as reliable.
Sure.
I would mostly splash for like what's the Naya instant? Or no, it's a sorcery that deals 5 and they gain 5.
Fiery Justice. That's a rare.
Yeah, I've splashed that multiple times because people don't take it as highly.
What about Gruul War Chant, though?
Oh, that card's sweet. Yeah, that one. Yeah, I'd splash that. Or Goblin. What's the one that makes a goblin on your upkeep?
The one that makes a 1/1 goblin that has to attack?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that card is called, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that card is really good in certain decks. It's surprisingly versatile. Like, if you're just playing a deck that has a lot of removal, that card can get out of hand pretty quick. So it goes well in either really aggressive decks or any deck that just...
Oh, it's just Goblin Assault.
Goblin Assault, yeah, that's it. So that card's been impressive. If I go Naya, I generally just don't have the populate theme, and I won't play the cards like the Rootborn Defenses as often, or not as many of them, or the Eisen Skies. Is that the one that makes a bird and populates.
Yeah. Yep, it makes the 2/1/1 birds or the 1/1 bird and something else.
Yeah. So that card is really only good if you're going to reliably get something better than a bird, or if you have intangible virtue in your deck, or so. Like Naya, I generally just play good stuff if I'm going to be in those in all three colors. And I like to stick to green-white if I'm going to do the populate theme.
Okay. What other decks have you drafted that you've really enjoyed, or what have you not enjoyed? What do you think is bad?
Certain cards have underperformed. Avacyn's Pilgrim hasn't felt as good as it does in cube normally. What other cards have felt worse? Just the really, really aggressive decks seem to not be good enough. They just kind of, there's not enough there. Or like, I think the spot removal is too good. That's probably what it is that the control decks have enough cheap interaction that you get really punished for playing low power level aggressive cards. So a card like Giant Baiting, if the format was really aggressive, that 8 damage could matter a lot, and having like 2 hasty 4/4s could swing a race and you could beat a control deck. But in this format, there's so much cheap interaction, like Agony Warp, Augur Spree, like Augur of Bolas and Seagate or Oracle just kind of block pretty well. So everyone is doing things early, like we kind of talked about with the 5-color deck. So you can't get under people as well as you would generally do in other formats.
Okay. Those are similar thoughts to what I had. You didn't talk about the Blink deck.
So I've drafted the Blink deck, and if it's okay, I don't know. It gets pulled in too many directions, I think. I've had good versions of it, but mostly those versions are like on the back of rares. So I had one that had a Deadeye Navigator, and like that deck was obviously insane. But besides that, like the Blink deck is good, but you just have to get all the pieces, and I feel like it's really sought after and overdrafted, and so it doesn't come together as much as it should.
Okay. Well, let's go right into the seal pool. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mute myself, and you're going to talk, and I'm going to go to the computer and get the seal pool ready, and then you're going to actually talk about what you built. I'm not going to listen. And then I am going to come in with a seal pool and build it.
Sounds great.
Okay, go for it.
All right, I'll share screen, I guess. Let's do this. All right, so if I bring up, screen share. So the pool that I built is this. So when I was looking at the pool, I thought about what the most powerful cards were. And it was pretty easily the Broodmate Dragon, the Olivia Voldaren, and the Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. And then Cruel Ultimatum is also very, very powerful if you can cast it. And then Damnation. So mostly these 4 cards, and then this one if it's reasonable. And so I knew I would be in Jund. And then I looked at the Jund fixing, and the lands that fixed only Jund were Rakdos, so the one Signet, the Tri-Land, and 2 black-green lands. And then the 2 Sylvan Rangers. And that was like that's probably enough fixing to play Jund. But if I added these 4 blue Guildgates and a Simic Signet, I can play blue for almost free. So I have 5 sources of blue that I'm willing to play, or 7 if you include the Sylvan Rangers, at almost no cost. And so that's why I decided that I would look into a blue splash. I looked at white, and there were only 2 sources that were relatively free, like unlike the 5, the 4 Guildgates and the Signet. And then the blue, I thought it would be worth it to try to play Cruel Ultimatum. I personally haven't cast this spell before, but I've had it cast against me in cube once, I think, and it's clearly really powerful. It's like a 10/1 or something. I mean, not really, but it does a lot. And so I think we have enough in the deck that can push the game to late that it's worth playing Cruel Ultimatum and trying to make the mana work. And so I added some other blue cards, like the Azure Mage. It's an early card that can get a little bit of advantage, and we only have six creatures in this deck, so we're really lacking on win conditions. So having a two mana card that can double as a way to find our big finishers, because Olivia and Broodmate and Falcon Wrath Aristocrat can all take over a game and win by themselves. And so there's also pretty good removal. So two Agony Warps, Serum Vision, just as another way to try to find our really impactful cards, which I think is really important in the sealed format. And then a Soul Manipulation as a way to rebuy either our Olivia Voldaren, our Broodmate, or our Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. The one problem with this deck that I see is that it is lacking win conditions. You only have really these three cards that can actually kill your opponent. And technically, you can beat them down with an Azure Mage, but that's not really going to happen, or your two Sylvan Rangers aren't going to kill anyone. So you really only have these three ways to kill someone. And so having Soul Manipulation is very important. And I would even consider trying to look for a lower, like a less good card, but just something else that could kill. Because everyone's going to pack the removal. Like if you look at our deck, our removal is insane. It's two Magma Jets, Abrupt Decay, Ground Assault, two Agony Warps, Putrefy, Seal of Doom, Grizzly Spike. So we're pretty much just playing a deck that's all removal spells, three big bombs, and two ways to buy back our bombs. And I like this as the starting point because I feel like it's the most powerful. We're not going to get blown out early very often. We have tons of ways to interact. We have unconditional removal in Grizzly Spectacle, Damnation. Olivia Voldaren can steal their creatures and Cruel Ultimatum can win a game by itself also. Putrefy, unconditional. Seal of Doom, unconditional. So we can kill anything. My only worry with this deck would be if we ran into a similar deck that was packed with removal and we couldn't stick one of these threats up for long enough to win a game. But besides that, I think the mana is pretty good. Double Sylvan Ranger in your sealed pool really lets you push the mana a little bit farther than you would generally be able to. I looked into playing white, and the only card I really saw was Terminus. And if you're not miracling it, it's a double white spell, and it's not that great. I think putting creatures on the bottom is actually worse for us because we can at least get them back if we were to kill all the creatures. So like with Damnation, if we have to Damnation away our own threat, we can get it back in two different ways. But if we Terminus it away, we're going to mill ourselves before we win. And so I didn't think white was worth splashing. If I go in here, this should be all of the cards. There were like some miracles that we could have played. I built a Jund version here, and I just didn't like it as much. I thought some of these cards were not impactful enough, and like again with the mana issues, I had these lands in here just as a spot holder, but we could play kind of in between cards that don't do as much. But I liked the version that tries to interact early with all of this removal and win the game late with a bomb rare. We have three nearly unbeatable cards if they're not killed. And I think it would be a mistake to try to do something besides casting these reliably. They do too much to win a game. Like any one of these left unanswered is going to win in just a few turns. But besides that, that is mostly of how I thought about this. The colors, I can kind of go through it and give you my ideas on some of the cards.
No, that's my job. Let's
Oh, perfect. I wasn't sure when you were coming back.
Let's stop sharing your screen.
Yep.
You can let me take over from here.
Perfect.
I will share mine. So Magic Online is being the worst on my other computer, so I'm just going to talk about my thoughts and what I think I would build. I did not get to see too much of what Danny was saying or listen because my headset was off. But let's go in here and let's see what we can come up with. So I'm going to just do this application. And here we go. All right. So the first thing I'm going to do is sort by color and get an overall look of like what my colors look like. So this white has basically no early spells whatsoever. Its best cards are probably its splicers. So if I'm going to play white, it probably needs to pair with green in some way. We go on to blue. My best cards here, Augur Bolas, Forbidden Alchemy. They're probably the highest on here. Serum Visions is okay. Mystical Teachings would fall into that deck, probably. Black, we have Damnation, Grisly Spectacle, Seal of Doom. Red has Double Thunderous Wrath, Double Magma Jet, Double Mog Funkies. Has a lot of cards that are pretty aggressive. There's triple one drop Madcap skills and a Chandra's Outrage, so lots of stuff in red. Look at this triple Abyssin's Pilgrim. But we don't have other. Excuse me. We do have a Gaia's Anthem. The double Sylvan Ranger, Burning Tree Emissary is helpful with that. Ground Assault, Broodmate Dragon. So, kind of looks like there's no way to play a two color deck, which is what I expected. So I'm gonna go right into my color fixing and see what we have. So we have three Jundlands. Slesnik Guildgate. We have Fracto Signet, Simic Signet. So looking at this, it looked like my best removals were Abrupt Decay, Agony Warp, Ground Assault, and Putrefy. And looking this way, I have Savage Lands, double Guildgate in blue, triple Guildgate in blue, double triple Guildgate in black, triple Guildgate in red, triple Guildgate in green. So the color fixing for four color is there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't have enough fixing to go five colors. It's just not there. Even with double Sylvan Ranger, I don't think that's enough. One of the things that we can do though, that I like to do is like, does actually going into four colors help me have a powerful pool? So if we pull, well, that's pretty telling. So we actually only have one white rare, and the rest of ours are all in those four colors. What does that deck look like? So let's go back to color. So we need to look to see if we're playing these cards, like the Forbidden Alchemies, the Mystical Teaching, and the Augur Bolas. So we would definitely be playing Damnation. We're likely playing Grisly Spectacle and Seal of Doom. Likely playing Magma Jets. Maybe not playing Thunderous Draft. It's possible we play one of. Definitely playing double Sylvan Ranger. And then because we're in four color, we probably go to our multicolored cards first before we move into the other stuff, because they'll actually end up being easier to cast. So Abrupt Decay, Agony Warp, Broodmate Dragon. I would consider playing Burning Tree Emissary in this deck, because it actually might fix our mana. And we have double Sylvan Ranger, and we would be playing Magma Jet, so it would just give us free spells anyway. And then we could also play Ground Assault to probably not playing Spike Jester. Definitely playing Putrefy, definitely playing Olivia. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Playing this, 13, 14, 15. At least one of these, 16. 17, 18, 19. So that's the starting point there. All right, Danny. Yeah. Am I close?
Yeah, we came to a very similar conclusion. Did you see what I built? Because you pretty much built it. Plus or minus a couple cards, but yeah.
Did you end up playing – before I look at yours, I would like to know if you went into Forbidden Alchemy, Mystical Teachings.
So I did. I went into blue, but I didn't go into those particular cards. So Forbidden Alchemy for me has actually been like a liability if you are in a deck that doesn't have like a lot of ways to win a game. Especially okay. in sealed, people pack a lot of unconditional removal. And sure. so a lot of games can grind out. And if you like mill 8 cards, sometimes it's like too much. I don't know. It seems weird. It's probably incorrect to think that, but I've been milled out multiple times in this format, and I've only played it like maybe 30 games or no, not 30 games, probably 100 games or something. But
I do wonder, looking at this pool again, there's probably just no way you can't, like, the cards are good enough in Naya to play Naya, but you don't have the fixing to play it.
Yeah, no, you don't. So I think I played not white. I think you were right. I didn't think the white cards were worth it. They were fine, but it really wasn't like the Jund. So mainly the Jund bombs were so good that I felt like I had to play Jund. And then I looked at what that fixing looked like and what was easy to get in addition to Jund.
I totally forgot about this Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. So I can play Falcon Wrath Aristocrat and the bomber, and then that's 21 cards, and I still have room for more.
So I played Cruel Ultimatum, Azure Mage, Serum Visions.
So if you're playing Cruel Ultimatum, are you playing 2 islands for both of your Sylvan Rangers to get them so you can cast it?
I don't think so, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4. You have 5 sources besides Sylvan Ranger, and it's a 7 drop. So I don't, like, it's probably like a super late drop. So I think you just play 1 island still, but I could be wrong about that.
I guess you have the Simic Guildgate too. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You have 4 Guildgates and a Signet.
An island is 6. You're actually too short. You just have to play 2 islands.
How many Cruel Ultimatum is like on turn 10? Like, how many islands do you need? I mean, I'm not very good at math. I kind of just go by like,
sure,
I don't know, like how I feel. Yeah. But maybe the math doesn't add up to play Cruel Ultimatum with it. But I think
I'm dying on camera. I'm dying on camera.
Choking to death.
Yeah. No, I think that this deck is good. Yeah, it was interesting to build. I probably end up playing Golgari Rotworm. I might actually just play the Selesnya Guildgate. I actually might play all of my tap lands just to splash the Thornscape Battlemage on both sides.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could do that. I kind of built it weird. I don't know if it was right. I pretty much just played removal spells, the four bombs if you include Cruel Ultimatum, and that's it.
Okay.
And then like a soul manipulation to buy back one of the big bombs. Like, it could be wrong that some of them, like some of these cards could be wrong, but like they all individually look really, really powerful. Like, they're,
yeah, I could see that your blue splash just being for like Quarreling Oracle and Agony Warp. I'm not sure, but yeah, I agree that that's the direction this deck would go. I wonder what percentage of your sealed decks end up 4 colors in this format, just be by the nature of the way that this format wasn't actually built for sealed. They actually specifically mentioned they didn't test sealed for this format. It is strictly for drafting, but there are going to be PPTQs that are Modern Master, so you're going to want to know and practice with a few builds because the pools are very weird.
Yeah, in general, I would say play your bombs at almost all costs and sealed, because the bombs in this format are so powerful. Like it's the same logic as it in other formats, but like there's a lot of really good cards, really, really good cards. And so pretty much in every pool, you're going to have some insane bombs, and you should try to make it work if at all possible.
All right. Let's go back into Modern Master 17 really quick to wrap this up. I want to talk about a couple things before we go. What do you think the speed of this format is overall?
So in draft, it's interesting. You have to do things, but you're not dying super fast because there's lots of things given to you that you can do. I don't know if that makes sense. So, like, there's lots of ways to interact for cheap, But you need to take those pretty highly and you need to be interacting.
I completely agree. You don't have to be adding to the board, but you have to be doing something. So I would say that it's a lot slower than what we're used to over the last couple of days,
Yeah, for sure.
or months, I should say. Popper or power? So is this a format where you can get away with your commons, or is it like a power nine format where like the bombs rule?
So I draft it for power. So when I open my first pick, like it has a pretty big impact on what I go into. Because the colors and even the archetypes are pretty deep. So there's lots and lots of playables. And so I like taking really impactful cards and trying to make them work. One example I had is I opened a Snapcaster and I drafted the best Snapcaster mage deck of all time. And then I had like two Mystical Teachings to tutor up. And my deck was felt unbeatable. I had double Familiar's Ruse. And so I would like counter a spell and then snap and then Familiar Ruse to counter a spell and return my Snapcaster to my mage to my hand. And so I would cast the same Snapcaster mage like four times in a game with both of my Familiar Ruses. And you can do things like that in this format where you can take a really impactful card and make sure that it's going to win you games.
All right, that is going to be it for this week. Don't forget to share our sponsor at play at gamegrid.com. That's GameGrid, a great place to play Magic if you're in Utah. You can also go to our Patreon at patreon.com/ccmtg, become a patron of the show. Every dollar we really do appreciate. Starting at $1 or more per month, anything you see fit, it just means the world to us. Where can people find you, Danny?
On Twitter, it's at DJ Cathro, and then I'm on the Facebook page. Interact there pretty often. It's
And
pretty
you
fun.
can find the link to the Facebook page down in the show notes of the show. You can find me on Twitter at Spencer13H. You can find me on Facebook on the Constructive Criticism Facebook group. You can find me every week on constructivecriticism.com, doing Constructive Criticism, limited time only, and Wednesday Night Warrior, which you can check out on this YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube and you're wondering, like, what are these guys talking about on this podcast? We do it live every week on YouTube. Which is why we save the How Would You Build It segment that we're working on, perfecting. We tried a new way this week. Let us know what you think. Let us know if that was more helpful for you. We'd love to hear your feedback. And we want to change that. We want to make Sealed a part of the show every week. We know that people care about it. It's what they have to do to get better, to qualify for a Pro Tour. You have to play Sealed. So we want to help you with that. Any shout-outs this week?
Like to shout out my roommate Corey Crowfoot. So this weekend we played in a Modern Masters PPTQ and he took it down. So
Guy sucks.
congrats. He is the worst good Magic player that I know.
Yeah, the shout out to my wife. I love her a lot. It's always nice to be around somebody who I enjoy spending so much time with, and I'm very happy that I got to marry her. And raising a kid with her is a new adventure that I was not ready for, but I'm really happy that I get to experience with her. That is it for this week, everybody. Don't forget that we are do the show every Thursday at 9 p.m. or at 11 p.m. Eastern. Thank you everyone for watching. Thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you guys all next week.
See ya.